it's my great pleasure to finally introduce our talent for tonight, Doug and Bruce. Come on up.
Well, thank you very much, President Thomas, for that warm introduction. It's really amazing that I was only 12 in 1974 when I got here, too, so we share much more in common than I thought. It's really amazing to look out at the audience and see how many people are here tonight. I will remind you to begin that it's not appropriate to shoot the messenger. We just bring the story with us. But it was nice to be able to renew some old friendships downstairs, meet some new people, to watch everybody enjoy each other's company. And as the President said, we like to think that's part of what one gets out of a Puget Sound education. I was particularly fascinated to talk to the person that I met for the first time tonight downstairs, who was graduated from UPS and is an astrologer. And it reminded me that astrology is quite important for Doug and for me, because astrologers make economic forecasters look really good. And we're glad that they're here tonight. So yes, there were some peculiar things going on downstairs. And economic forecasting is kind of a fun business. It's in its own way peculiar and strange. And a wag a while ago likened economic forecasting to a blind javelin thrower. When people come, he may not hit the target very often, but people kind of watch what's going on. And so Doug and I are going to toss a javelin tonight, hopefully not quite blindly, but to take a look at what's been happening in the Pierce County economy.
Bruce and I, as President told you, have been forecasting the local economy since 1988. And what we forecast is what we call the Pierce County Economic Index. It's an indicator of economic well-being. It's comparable to the real GDP at the national level. And since 1981, the average growth of this index has been 2.8%. But this year, we anticipate a decline in the index for the first time since 1991. How does this forecast compare with other local economic slowdowns? Since 1980, we have experienced three periods of decline. Slowdowns in 1981 and 2001, and a recession in 1991. In the 1991 recession, the economy fell by just 0.5%. The decline in the PCEI in this year is expected to be our most severe in 30 years. Economic activity will drop by just about 2%.
It's worth asking how we got here and to this forthcoming recession. And those of you that have been around, nobody crossed five states to get here, did you? No, so you've all been around, right? 2008 was a pretty good year in the Pierce County economy. We, in fact, bucked the national trend. We did better than the national economy did. And part of the reason we did much better was we had very good in 2008 labor market. Things softened a bit, but we maintained jobs at a pretty good pace, lost some. We also saw a slowing in the growth of our labor force, so that kept our unemployment rate in pretty good shape. Secondly, military activity, as all of you know, is very important to the health of the Pierce County economy, and this is a two-sided coin. On one side, it's great to have the military around. The other side is they tend to do very well when we're fighting wars around the world and we're engaged in two. So we have good, solid troop movements, deployments in, troops coming back. The base closures that occurred in the prior years consolidated troops into Fort Lewis and McChord, and all of this created economic activity that buoyed our economy in 2008. Less well known to most people is a second very important economic sector in our economy is the healthcare industry. And that's not just the doctors and the dentists and the vets and the clinics, but it also includes the major hospitals, it includes research facilities, and it includes some companies located in Pierce County that are directly tied to the healthcare sector. And we have been using healthcare services quite robustly and kept the healthcare industry growing, and that was part of the prop in the Pierce County economy in 2008. We got a bump, as you can see, in the second and third quarters, and held up a bit into the fourth quarter as well, when we finally got those tax rebate stimulus checks. And most of you in Pierce County did what you were supposed to do if you took macroeconomics from Doug or from me, and you went out and spent, and that was good. It helped us out quite a bit. And we were lucky enough, for whatever reason, that we didn't have any significant in 2008 financial institution failures in Pierce County. We didn't suffer as they did in King County with an institution like Washington Mutual closing. So 2008 turned out to be right on target. We grew at about 2.8%. The rest of the economy was slowing down nationally, and people were beginning to sense, and indeed a recession nationally started late in the year in 2008, but we avoided that. But why did we do that? Why did we better the national trends? Well, interestingly, remember, gas prices, $4, still way too cheap, but we all thought that was pretty expensive, and we all stayed home. Staycations became the sort of catchphrase in the summer, and that actually helps Pierce County. We don't attract lots of tourists from the rest of the world and country to come and stay at the Murano, as beautiful as it is, to visit the museum, as wonderful as it is, to watch them blow glass, as exciting as that is, right? We don't get lots of tourists coming and spending big bucks. On the other hand, we send a lot of tourists out. You people travel, right, with your UPS education. You want to go to new cultural institutions, right, enlighten you. Never stop learning. And so what did you do? You stayed home and spent your dollars here, and that helped more than the few people who chose not to stay at the Murano. So that helped us quite a bit in 2008. Our industrial and commercial sectors were quite strong throughout the entire year, building warehouses and transportation facilities and strip malls and renovating the larger regional malls, and so industrial and commercial activity was good for us. As I mentioned, military spending in the economy, both for troops and for facilities, was very good in 2008. And the healthcare sector continued strong. We built a hospital across the bridge. We renovated a major hospital in Puyallup. DaVita, which runs kidney dialysis program, was having a good year. So that was good for us. And our financial sector held up much better than it did throughout the rest of the country. You could still get loans. You could still borrow. You could still purchase a car. Oh, if you're getting a General Motors car, they're going for a steal this week, we think. Now, what's going to happen in 2009? Things are going to change, right? As we noted, things are going to start to slow down. Why? One, the national recession will start to have an impact on Pierce County firms. It's already started. We've heard news from Weyerhaeuser, from Boeing, from lots of major employers about their restructuring. You can still get a cafe au lait, but there won't be as many baristas there. That hurts. Cautious consumers now, as they watch their 401ks drop right through 301ks into 201ks, are saying, let's start saving again, and that means not spending. Businesses obviously are getting nervous, and they're cutting their plans for expansion, for creating new technologies, and that's going to slow us down during the year. And finally, when we buy fewer things and we don't trade as much real estate and housing prices fall, taxes for all government levels start to decrease. Governments have to balance their budget. Less revenue means cuts in government programs, and that's important to Pierce County as well.
This afternoon, we had a dry run on this presentation. He didn't take a third as long to talk about all that. He's feeding off of you guys in terms of this this crowd stuff. So just don't encourage him. I'm going to talk about 2009 and recession starting. all of the factors that Bruce talked about over here will contribute to our local recession this year. The first quarter will mark the beginning of the recession. The severity of the recession is expected to deepen through the third quarter as layoffs continue, consumer spending remains weak, business investment drops. The financial sector crisis will continue to cause uncertainty, and the current fiscal stimulus package will have a delayed impact. The combined effect will be a decline in economic activity of 2% for the year. As I've said, the worst in 30 years. One consequence of an economic slowdown is a rising unemployment rate. Our initial forecast for unemployment assumed continued moderate financial uncertainty, soft retail sales, and a modest national recession. But now, we think conditions will worsen. Thus, we have adjusted our original unemployment rate estimates upward. The policy help we expected did not materialize last year. Financial issues became worse. The global recession spread wider and deeper, reducing trade flows. And our national recession has become more severe. The unemployment rate will not reach the level we saw in our last economic downturn in 2001, but the rate has been increasing, up by 1.2 percentage points in 2008 to 5.9%. This year, we anticipate unemployment at 7.5%, up 1.6 percentage points. This higher rate is still below the national forecast of 8.5 to 8.75%, and relatively low given the anticipated severity of our local recession.
Why are we going to have a slightly different jobs and unemployment reaction in this downturn? It will be, as Doug said, milder than one normally would expect. One of the main reasons is that we still are heavily dependent on the aerospace sector, and Boeing's backlog is still strong, although they are beginning to position themselves for this downturn and losing some of that backlog. But still, they are in fairly good shape, and this helps Pierce County in two ways. One is they have some direct expenditures from suppliers in Pierce County, and that keeps jobs there. And secondly, we have a large number of people who live in Pierce County who commute to Renton and Everett to work for Boeing, and that brings income back into the county, and they go out and spend it. So that's one of the good things that's working in our favor. And secondly, as we mentioned before, two of our main economic pillars, the military and healthcare, are both likely to remain quite strong through 2009. On the other hand, the recession has had a significant impact on our retail sector. Retail sales in 2008 were dismal because people, fearing the recession coming, stopped shopping. Right? People were rebuilding their savings and their portfolios. And those of you that took our macroeconomics course again, remember, we know the paradox of thrift, and that hurt. And in 2008, retail sales dropped by 4.3%. We spent $263 million fewer dollars in the county in 2008 than we did in 2007. That was the steepest, largest one-year decline in retail activity in the 30 years Doug and I have been monitoring and measuring this. Things will turn around in 2009. Retail sales will start to pick up again, modest and slow, and we won't recover completely, but spending will pick up. Just the nice thing is, even all that good stuff you bought and delayed, even that Kate Spade handbag you've been holding on to, does at some point have to be replaced, and we expect that to be happening a little bit in 2009. But when the year is over, spending will be up by 1.8% and will just get us back to where we were in 2006.
In addition to weak retail sales, housing market woes continue to dominate national and local news. Our housing index is a measure of activity, not prices or values. It has been declining since 2006, when its growth declined during the second half of the year. This downturn became worse in 2007, as we experienced four consecutive quarters of negative growth. Our index fell by 4% in the first quarter, another 7% in the second quarter, then reached double-digit declines of 10 and 13% in the last two quarters. In 2008, the downward spiral continued as subprime problems became more intense, financing opportunities disappeared, and former mortgage lending simply vanished. Housing activity fell by 16.8% in the first quarter, 21% in the second quarter, followed by 18% and a negative 14.5% in the last two quarters of 2008. We expect some improvement for 2009. As the decline diminished in the first two quarters from just minus 10 to minus 1.5. The federal bailout helps breathe some life and confidence in, and new refinancing will occur in the economy. Our forecast for the third and fourth quarter are for activity to increase with positive growth of 0.7% and 1.6%. It has been a tough time in the housing market since 2006. The index declined by 9% in 2007, doubled that rate to a decline of 18% in 2008, and will drop by another 2.5% this year, 2009. By the end of 2009, the index will have reached levels, or receded to levels, that have not been seen since 2002. The only other local index hit more severely was my retirement account.
As Doug mentioned, housing certainly took a big hit in the moving into the recession and will continue slightly less severe, but in the recession. And many people ask, well, isn't the housing crisis the real cause of what's going on? And so what we'd like to do is explain to you why we don't think that's the case, why the subprime meltdown was not the reason the U.S. economy is going into a recession, and why the Pierce County economy will be experiencing a recession. We have a long history in the United States of encouraging home ownership. We have a very high percentage of our population that owns a piece of the American dream, their own house. And beginning in the roughly 2001-2002 period, the federal government decided, even though we had 65-67% home ownership, that we should do better than that. We should get the home ownership rate up, and directed the major federal programs to increase the rate of home ownership. And Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac were in fact directed to go out and find more people to buy homes. Well, that meant they had to look for riskier borrowers. They had to lower their underwriting standards. And indeed, that was why we started to develop a very large subprime and Alt-A loan market. It was to attract more people to be homeowners. And indeed, it worked quite well. Any way you slice the demographics, whether it's by age, gender, race, whatever you want to do, we did increase home ownership. Young families own their homes more now than they did, middle-income, middle-aged families, and even families who traditionally sold homes and rented, the elderly, the empty nesters, were buying more homes. So the question is, if we put all those new people in their homes and they start to have trouble and mortgages are foreclosed and loans fail, isn't that the real story to the problem here? Well, we did a quick, somewhat back of the envelope calculation, but it's pretty good based on current numbers. And if you can see the numbers in this chart, what it tells us is that we have approximately $16.5 trillion of mortgage value out there, people who own, of real estate value, people who own their own homes. Many of those, 90%, have mortgages, some paid partially down. So we have about $11.1 trillion in mortgage debt in the United States, and that's owned by people who did the lending. Suppose 4% of these loans go bad and the houses are foreclosed and the mortgages are lost. And I will tell you, 4% is an incredibly, astronomically high percentage. A normal year is well under 1% foreclosure. So we're talking about 20 to 30% of the subprime and Alt-A loans going into bankruptcy and foreclosure. If that were to happen, we'd be talking about financial securities worth approximately $401 billion being lost. And that's a big number. That's what people were worried about. But if you then ask, how big a hit would that have made in Doug's portfolio and my portfolio and your portfolio? It turns out if we spread that loss out, it would have cost us all $5,000. Now, again, a lot of money, but certainly not a cause for a recession to occur, and we don't believe that the current economic conditions were really driven by bad purchasing, but rather by the way in which it was loosely financed and all of the financial instruments that were driven by it.
The current stimulus package focuses on government expenditures for shovel-ready projects. This Keynesian-style recovery plan has been met by both positive and negative commentary. The truth is that we have neglected our infrastructure. It needs repair, providing opportunities for rebuilding and refurbishing, and estimates of the cost of this refurbishing are as high as $13 trillion. Point is, we have plenty of meaningful projects and work that need to be attended to without wasting resources on made-up jobs that would simply prime up the economy. The $800 billion stimulus package may very well be a first step to an economic recovery. Given the size of potential projects for which these funds could be used, perhaps might be wise to debate the priority of the most important and look at that discussion whether we need or not this exact amount of funds expended. So, in concluding, I'd like to kind of comment on just how bad it is by giving you a quick listen to an email I got just yesterday. It says, due to recent budget cuts and the cost of electricity, gas, and oil, as well as the current market conditions and the continued decline in the U.S. economy, the light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off. We apologize for the inconvenience. Seriously, we are in a severe economic downturn, but some markets have unwound so dramatically that we can see things turning around during the second half of this year. Retail spending and housing activity may finally have bottomed out.
It's important to remember that we don't think it was the subprime housing bubble bursting that caused the recession. There's a lot more to it, and it's just too easy to point one finger. That wasn't the fundamental cause, and it won't be the way out of this recession. Rather, doing things like are being proposed, a stimulus package that includes dealing with a long-neglected problem. You may remember the Minnesota Bridge collapse here in Tacoma. We have a closed Murray Morgan Bridge. These are serious projects. And one of the blessings, if it be a blessing of a recession, is it gives us a chance to move out of the recovery, to move into recovery, out of the recession, in a productive way, and we think that is the direction right now that we're going. Finally, one last comment. Go Loggers Saturday night, right? I've been told that we have time for, if anyone wants to. This kind of reminds me of my days back in the early 1970s when we taught economics 101 then in a room of 150 people. Unfortunately, we don't have a teaching assistant here to grade your papers, but we'll be happy to take any questions or listen to arguments. Way in the back, yell. Well, Doug just bought a new car, so he can tell you about the future.
Well, we just heard news today about the GM, and there's some very real concerns about its viability. It's the way of the market. The process of creative construction that goes on, some industries seem incredibly strong and should be there for all time and all seasons, but they're not. There are some advantages that are built in unfairly, some trades, negotiations that might affect things. Some countries may pay for national health insurance, and so legacy costs and insurance of other countries who are not being taken up by the national government, but rather by the country or company, have perhaps an unfair advantage in costs. But consumers look out for themselves. And it is very likely, in my opinion, that we're going to see at least one, possibly two, of our former big three no longer being here. But I don't know.
That was a first hand.
Well, there are a lot of people who seem to think that part of our problem is that the American consumer is significantly over leveraged. What are the data that lead you to believe that we're going to have a turnaround in our housing or even on the retail environment over the next 12 months, 18 months, 2 years?
Well, let me tackle quickly the housing one. I don't think there's any doubt that the housing market's going to turn around. The question is when. And the reason is markets hate vacuums. And when prices fall enough, people start to move in and take advantage of that. And there are more people, there are more households, there is more need for housing. People have been doubling up, people have been going without housing. So as I heard tonight from someone else, and I take it they're an authority and I trust them, even in North End Tacoma, as prices dropped below the basically 400 into the 300,000 level, activity's picking up again. You may have read in the paper this morning that the report on activity in Pierce County has turned a little bit and is starting to move back up. Values are falling, but people are buying and selling more, and so there's no doubt, historically it always happens. It's a question of when. We think it's going to be a significant difference in the second half of this year. We think we're going to see a significant increase, as Doug pointed out, in housing activity. It's just too good a deal. Rates are too low. Money will become available as banks clear out their toxic assets. I love to see the eyes roll up. Remember, I'm just a messenger, but it will happen. Yeah. And the other half was retail spending. Was that the other half of your question?
Yes, guess what?
Yeah, and Doug will tell you why that's going to pick up.
A lot of people seem to think that the American consumer has been over-leveraged for a long time. It's going to take a long time for that unleveraging to occur, and that unleveraging is going to affect not only housing, but all kinds of retail and commercial activity. And I just wonder what you see that's different than from what a lot of other people see.
Well, I'll let Doug talk to you about savings.
Part of it is you've got negative growth for a period of time. At some point, if you're talking about an item that has some positive service flow to it, it's going to have value at some point. We've had, particularly in the housing industry, we've had significant declines. And again, we're not talking dollars, price, we're talking activity. And in some cases, the negative activity takes a lag before prices go down enough. But part of that retail sales is, of course, embedded in that forecast with housing activity. As soon as housing activity goes up, there's appliances to be purchased and furniture to be bought and things of that nature. So clearly, we could be a quarter, 2 quarters, maybe 4 quarters early in our call on that, or we could hit it dead on. But at some point, we can't argue that, well, everything's going to go to hell in a handbasket. That just is not what typically happens in this kind of situation. It's not terribly unlike other kind of asset increases that you've had in the past. And so it's our thought, given the market here, the stimulus packages that are laid down, the macroeconomic conditions, that it would be somewhere in this third and or fourth quarter that we can expect to happen. Again, we do this enough that we learn in the process. And this is the first time in this kind of territory. As you can see, this is the first time we've had anything of this magnitude going negative growth of 2%. Last time we looked at this, it's a half of a percentage point in 1991. And so we don't have a lot of historic data to base this on. But this is at least our projections at this stage.
No others.
Yes, is there a difference in the way we measure unemployment today versus the early 70s or the 1930s? And if so, what would the rate be compared to what they had back then?
Good. I don't have to answer the second part because the answer to the first part is no. We measure it the same way. There is, of course, dispute whether we measure it very accurately or not, because the fundamental question in determining the unemployment rate is to classify someone as unemployed if A, they don't have a job, and those of you that remember this, I apologize, and B, they're actively seeking work, they're looking for work. That then excludes in the unemployment count someone who gets so discouraged that jobs are disappearing that they just say, why even take the time and effort to go look? I'm getting support somehow, unemployment compensation or whatever. I won't even search, but they are truly unemployed. They would take a job if one were available, but we don't count them in the unemployment rate. Secondly, if you have a part-time job, you're not unemployed, you're at work. And so if you'd rather work full-time, you don't get, but are working part-time, then you're not included in the unemployment rate. So many people suggest that we significantly undercount the true severity or amount of unemployment. And in the labor economics field, the rough guess is somewhere between 1.5 and 2.5 percentage points can be added to the measured unemployment rate to get a truer measure of the real suffering of unemployment. So we undercount, but we undercount just as much as we did in the 1930s. You defer. You yield your time on the floor. Thank you.
Class of 48, at that time, lumber in the tide plant was really big. I never heard anything about any lumber defined or equipped for house building. The only exits from the port of Tacoma, I haven't heard the port mention tonight.
Well, we did talk about trade.
Yeah. Well, part of the problem is with any kind of recession, whether it's local or national, can also be global. And in this particular case, we are in a global recession. And that implies that not only is the U.S. Experiencing higher unemployment rates and slower growth, but so is the world. And to the extent that incomes and jobs and availability of opportunities to buy are shrinking here. They are in other countries as well. So part of it is just the aggregate demand for goods and services, all of them, whether they're domestic or foreign, are declining. Trade flows are down. The port, obviously, whether you're exporting or importing, you get activity, but if there's flow that's down, then the activity there is reduced substantially as well. Certainly, the international side of the coin has become a little bit of a disappointment. But it is the case that we are finding that part of the sector also shrinking.
That lumber, it's been many years, quite honestly, since lumber, millwork, lumber-related manufacturing has been significant in Pierce County and Tacoma. Those days are gone. They left probably in the late 70s through the early 80s. And very unlikely to return to Tacoma Pierce County. So when I first got here, that was a big engine. We, in fact, in our forecasting model, used to pay particular attention to lumber prices for both export reasons and for local job creation reasons. It doesn't even show up in our model anymore. It's just not significant out here. That's just the way it is.
You remember that one from class?
Anyway, my point was is that apparently my mother, as a UPS graduate, got here before you were here.
Oh.
So she didn't get that, but I have to say that both my boys believe in that because they're spending money like that.
Good for them. Yes, you taught them well.
Apparently they did well in your class. I think we got the drift about the subprime. You don't think that was a major motivator. In our current situation, but what effect did the subprime have on the credit market? Because to me, that is really at the heart of the problem.
Absolutely, no. The way we see it is, it wasn't the people buying the homes and then having to default. There's 2.7 million people that lose their homes. That's unfortunate. That's terrible. But if 30% of the subprime borrowers default, 70% didn't. And that meant there's 70% of people who before didn't own homes that do and stabilize neighborhoods and create communities, and that's all to the good. But it was the financing that the way we created, sliced up derivatives and mortgage-backed securities and pick any three letters in the alphabet, put them together, and there's somebody bought one of those, right? And nobody knew what they were buying and selling. Now, you can say why, and you can say, well, it was poor regulation. It was exuberant belief in the future that these returns that they were offering would, in fact, be realized, instead of trying to remember back from Doug's money and banking course that said, when returns get real high, you better also assume the risk is going to be very high, and you may lose a lot of that. We just forgot it. You can blame Alan Greenspan for driving interest rates down real low so that investors looked to these more exotic securities to get some higher returns, because who wanted to buy a treasury bond at 0.5%, right, when you can get 4% on a tranche of a mortgage-backed security, whatever that is, right? And so what happened is people ended up creating lots of things, and parts of those things did turn toxic. Some mortgages did go into default, some people lose, but the trouble is, instead of knowing you had one and you lost it and could account for it, you had a little sliver. It's like if we learned that a cow somewhere in the United States ate something so that its milk, if you drank any drop of it, would kill you. What would we do? Well, your chance of getting that milk is about zero, but we'd all quit drinking milk, right? We all quit buying peanut butter, too. And then you'd say, well, it's not just milk, but it's butter. Maybe some of that got in the butter, so I'm not buying any butter. That industry's down the tubes. Then you say, well, I'm not buying any Betty Crocker frosting, because they've got some in there, so nobody's eating cake anymore, right? And so this spreads, and as Doug said, globally. It's spread, and it's just absolute fear that you might buy something that has a little toxicity, and you can't tell, so you can't value it, you don't know what it's worth, and now nobody lends to anybody. And so it was the financing, we think, mistake that's driven this, not the housing problem. And that's the real short answer. We could go a couple more hours. I'm not going to let Doug get started on this. One more?
One more,
and it was the man who yielded in the back courteously.
The amount of government spending that's proposed in the stimulus, what's your long-range forecast for inflation?
What, that is Doug's, yeah.
That is a good question. The argument being that perhaps we'll end up monetizing this debt in the sense of the Fed buying the securities and increasing the rate of growth, the money supply, and that in turn would lead to inflation and so forth. A lot of what's happened right now is there is this huge backlog or buildup of excess reserves. Banks aren't in fact lending them out. So they're just kind of have the ability, but they're not doing that. But once or if they all begin doing that, the ability to expand the money supply is huge. And my thought is that if this does begin to occur, just as the Fed has been able to inject, it can also siphon off. And the hope is to get that balance that, but in my opinion, I think the risk of going in and trying to isolate the disease and attack it as aggressively as possible made sense. The potential cost of inflation a few years down, there's conspiracy theories that might have argued that this was designed. And I've heard and seen they make some sense. But I personally was glad to see the particular degree of spearheading that the Fed did in terms of making funds available. It's still, you can push a string, but you can't, some of those old terms you may remember, but you can't guarantee just because the reserves are there that the banks will in fact lend the funds out and get the process going, partly because they're holding those funds because they're not too sure what the value of some of those other assets are because of the toxicity that Bruce was talking about. So I think really the inflation cost is an issue, but it's a lesser issue or cost than the collapse of a financial system. I think it's imperative that we have a financial system that's trusted and works. It's just absolutely the lifeblood of the capitalist economy.